You're right, Shirley. Oh, my. I don't know what else to say. It's it's a hard one to follow. This is the fifth in a five-part series on prosperity. And so today I'm going to put a bow on a little package that we've been talking about for the last four Sundays. And for those of you who are here for the first time, I don't want to leave you with the impression that all we do here is talk about money and ask you to give. As we do that one Sunday a year and you happen to hit it. So just to be warned in advance.
Hallelujah.
I think an appropriate place to start is start talking about the law of circulation. We've talked about that the last few weeks. And just to put it in a capsule for you, in essence, the law of circulation says that the entire universe is constantly circulating and ever expanding. Even, you know, at the atomic level, we have electrons that are circulating around the nucleus of an atom. The atoms circulate around and form molecules. The molecules come together to form elements, or they form together to form proteins and DNAs and life. Everything is constantly circulating. The rains that come down, the rain comes down like it is this morning, and flows into, you know, Ship Creek, which flows into Cook Inlet, which then evaporates, goes back into the clouds and finds more rain. Everything is constantly circulating. Our own earth circulates around the sun. The sun circulates around within the Milky Way galaxy, and there are millions of galaxies constantly circulating within the universe. Everything is constantly circulating, and we know that we live in an expanding universe. There are other laws, there are other concepts that are closely related and tied to that. One of those we talked about is the nature, you know, a reciprocal universe, that we live in a universe that gives back to you. So whatever you put forth into the universe is multiplied and returned back to you. And that happens over and over and over. We see it in our lives. I remember in practitioner training, Reverend Guy, I thought he was really, really being mean. But we had a deal where we had to go through, you know, the areas in our life. And I was really, really busy at that time. I had a very taxing, demanding job with a demanding boss, working lots and lots of hours. I was trying to do my best in practitioner training, and I just didn't have time for a lot of things. And what Reverend Guy says, you need to give away that which you feel a lack in. I said, what do you mean? You know, okay, you say that you don't have time. You need to start giving away more time. How do you do that if you don't have it to begin with? At the time, I happened to be serving on the board of directors for a nonprofit agency known as Victims for Justice. And they were at a time of upheaval and turmoil. We've been through three presidents of the board of directors in the previous 4 years. We've been through, I think, three executive directors within 2 years. A lot of change, a lot of things going on at that agency, and they needed a new president of the board of directors. And for whatever reason, I allowed Reverend Guy to convince me that I should give away more time and step in and take over the job as president of the board of directors, which I did. By giving away more time, by spending more time with other things, I found that I had more time for myself. I had more time for meditation. I had more time for my family. It absolutely worked. And that's the way the universe works. And you can even simplify that. If you approach the world with a frown on your face, with a scowl and everything, guess what you get back? People don't like it. Susan Breakall, our music director years ago, used to do a thing where she would walk down the grocery store aisles and smile at people. And it was amazing. People would smile, grumpy, smile back at her. If you go into the world with that attitude, that's what you get back. It's a reciprocal universe. And the urge to give, the urge to spread, the urge to give it out is inherent within all of us. We can't help it. It's part of our nature. It's part of our DNA. We want to give. It was an interesting story this fall, this August. The police in a little town, Barnesville, Georgia, were set to go to the campus of the Gordon State College there in Barnesville and evict and possibly even arrest what appeared to be an itinerant camper. It was a person who had set up a tent and was living in this tent on the campus of Gordon State College. What they came to find out is that in this tent was a young man, 19 years old, by the name of Fred Barley. And Fred Barley had borrowed his little brother's bike and had ridden 6 hours across Georgia to get, from his home in Conyers to get to Barnesville so that he could enroll in college that fall for his second semester as a biology major. And when he relayed what had happened, he had ridden all that way with everything that he owned. He had a duffel bag, he had a tent, he had 2 quarts of water and a box of cereal. And that's how he got across Georgia to get there to enroll for his second semester. And the police, while they couldn't allow him to continue to camp there, they reached in their wallet and they dug out a few bucks and they were able to get him a room for a few nights in a motel so they wouldn't have to arrest him. Well, word kind of got out and people started sharing. People started giving. And it's that nature to give and to share. And people started making contributions. And the next thing you know, they had enough money to get him a few more nights in the motel. And then a guy from a pizzeria heard about it. And he called and got him a job working in a pizza place, cleaning up late at night. He actually ended up getting a job. And things started to change for Fred Barley. But then a young lady by the name of Casey Blaney heard about it. She was a student at that school, and so she started a GoFundMe to help Fred Barley. This is what she wrote on her Facebook page in support of the GoFundMe that she had started. I thought, geez, this kid just rode a 20-inch little boy's bike for 6 hours in 100-degree Georgia heat. He's determined. And the least we can do is help him out. Within a few weeks, the GoFundMe raised $184,000 for his education, which is in a trust today, an educational trust for him today, so that he can continue his education and have a place to live, and he won't be living in the tent. My point is, though, that it is within all of us to want to share. We want to help the underdog. We want to help people. It's part of who we are. Now, we can restrict that urge to help, that urge to give. Ernest Holmes, in 1958, wrote a great piece called Help for Today. And in his piece, Help for Today, Ernest Holmes wrote, "Spirit, which is the creative life principle, is forever flowing through us. But man has been given the power or the right to impede or to stop its progress in himself. We know that we can tie a cord tightly around our arm and so inhibit the circulation of blood that congestion, stagnation, and infection will follow. In a like manner, through our thinking process, our ideas, and our convictions, we can use the tourniquets of negative thoughts and block the flow of creative life through us." And when it comes to prosperity and abundance, it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to tie the tourniquet to stop the circulation within our lives. In school, as many of you know, some of the professors I've talked about, some of them that I've had, but I had one in particular that taught us that you need to work on your stuff now. You need to get it done while you're in school. Reverend Cynthia James, and she said, if you don't get it now, you're going to get to grow up all over your congregation. You'll get to do it in front of them. You know, I'm a pretty good giver. That comes easy for me. I like to give. I'm not such a good receiver. It's hard for me to take. Barney comes with Sue Leatherberry very, very often, would come up and tell me, "Oh, Don, I really liked your talk today." And it's so hard for me to take a compliment. "Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing, really." It's so hard for me to say thank you. So I've been working on that as best I can to become a better receiver. Because when I restrict, when I don't take that compliment, I'm shutting down Bernie's ability to give. So if we can accept this idea that we do indeed live in an abundant and prosperous universe, and that we live in a universe in which everything circulates, it becomes then the next step is that it's good for us to circulate our financial abundance. It's good for us to circulate what little we have or how much we have, because we do indeed live in an abundant, unlimited universe. My next point is to say why you should support the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living with your financial gifts, tithes, and offerings. And as I sat to do this, I realized I can't possibly do this in a 20-minute or 25-minute sermon. I mean, what we do at this center is huge. Just Sunday services. Every Sunday, we give people a place to come to worship together, and our mission on Sundays is to inspire people, to let people know that there is a better way, that you don't have to continue in the place that you're at, that you can move beyond where you are. You know, people don't show up here on Sundays because everything in their life is perfect. You know, I haven't seen anybody that, you know, woke up on Sunday morning and said, "Wow, you know, I'm going to step out of the Baptist. I am going to go, you know, everything in my life is perfect. I've got all the money I want. I've got a great house. I've got wonderful kids. They've never had a problem. Everything in my life is absolutely perfect. So I'm going to walk, you know, mosey on down to the Center for Spiritual Living and hang out with a bunch of really spiritual people today." That doesn't happen. People show up here when you've got a challenge in your life and when you've got problems. And our duty, our job, our mission, what we want to accomplish on every Sunday is to send you back out the door, not necessarily happy, but with hope. With the hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, because there are spiritual principles that you can use in your life to improve and change that life. So yes, one of the things that we do is Sunday services. But we also have classes. It's one thing to sit in on Sunday services and get that half hour, whatever it is, you know, of outstanding music. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Don. And hopefully get a little bit out of a talk. But it's a lot more when you get to step into it and have it go to classes. When you can go into a place where you can really take a look. Now, we talk about how our thoughts become things, how it's the thoughts that we have that are the outpicturing of our lives. So if you've got a condition in your life that isn't so ducky sweet, what is it in your thoughts that's producing it? So in our classes, we get an opportunity to go within and see what it is that's doing. Because we have tapes that are playing in the background that we don't always understand and know what they are. And classes are an opportunity to do that in a loving, supporting manner, where you don't need to be afraid. You're not going to get should all over. You're going to be supported in discovering what those thoughts are and moving on by them. Other things that we do at this service besides class. We've got programs. There are things going on here all the time. I think Sunday night is available if somebody wanted to meet. And every other Friday. And that's about it. Because there's something happening here all the time. And then we do extra things. You know, we had the World Day of Service where everybody came together to raise money and food for fish, the fellowship in serving humanity and providing people a safety net for food. The World Day of Prayer, we went with our partners at Unity and participated in their World Day of Prayer. we give to our home office. The first thing we do every month is we total up the ACSL Sunday services and we cut a check for 10% to the home office. Then we turn around and cut another check for 5%, half of what we give to the home office, and we circulate within the Anchorage community. And we support a whole host of nonprofit agencies right here within the Anchorage community. We believe we participate in the law circulation and we walk our talk. And we do that here, and that is our belief in how we do it. But the most important thing that we do here is our mission statement. Spiritual transformation occurs within these walls every single day. Because of confidentiality, I can't share stories with you, but I can tell you that every single day I get to see examples of people having their lives transformed. People who wake up to the idea that, wow, God is within me. Wake up to the idea that they do live in an abundant universe. Some of the demonstrations I've had have been miraculous. I'm just going to do two in this because people that came here one time got a one-minute miracle and moved on to the lower 48. One was a lady that stopped and asked for prayer, a one-minute miracle after service. She had been estranged from her daughter for 7 years. They hadn't spoken for 7 years. And she was moved to attend this center that day. I have no idea why, but she asked for prayer. And she wanted to reconnect with her daughter. That was on Sunday. She left me a message. I carried that thing on my old flip phone for years because it touched me so deeply. She called on Tuesday morning. And on Monday night, her daughter called and said, "Mom, it's time to bury the hatchet." Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. Another one was a man. He was an iron worker, had fell three stories, broke his back, couldn't work, could never work again. And he was in excruciating pain. And he asked for treatment. I did my standard treatment. And I knew the truth. I knew that that power that created the universe certainly had within it the ability to heal. And I just called forth that healing and allowed that healing to happen. But most importantly, that man absolutely believed that that healing was there. About 6 months later, I got a letter. And he was working again as an iron worker. His back was totally healed. Doctors had no explanation. Coincidence? I don't know. Spiritual transformation happens here. We did that survey where we put on the seats and you could put on, you know, people liked the service, they liked the music or whatever it was. And one of the things was the joke. And was there something about the service that you really liked or didn't like? And all I wrote was the joke. I don't know whether they really liked it or really didn't like it. I've never figured it out. But I do know that the activity that we're doing here today, our pledge campaign, you know, it's what it's here for is to try and help our leadership council put together a budget for 2017 that will allow us to know how we can move, operate, what we can do going forward, what other types of programs we're going to be able to do. And I do have an announcement. Wasn't even part of the sermon, but I just sealed a deal this last week. The leadership council has approved it. We are going to bring up Esther
Williams.
No, no. She's the swimmer. Nicholson. Yes. Esther Nicholson. She is awesome. And when I read her bio, how she ended up calling me, there's another miracle right there. It was a wrong number or something. But anyway. Musician, let's see, she has toured with Bette Midler, with Rod Stewart. She is award-winning musician and singer. But her motivational speaking is based in 12-step work. And she has put together this program of combining the 12 steps of AA and NA into a spiritually based program. And she's going to be up here next March just our center. I mean, this gal, she's been on Oprah. She's been on The View. She's been on Good Morning America. She's been on The Tonight Show. And she's going to be right here. So this is the kind of things that we do. Spiritual transformation happens here. This is a story that was related to me. I don't know the veracity of it or not, but it sounds like it's highly plausible. In a center, the pledge campaign was going on, and the minister got the bright idea to reward anyone who made a particularly large donation with being able to select the next three hymns. And so he said, anybody that gives $1,000 gets to select the next three hymns. And he looked out over the congregation, and there in the back row, a little old lady's hand went up. She says, and he said, Myrtle, you're going to donate $1,000? Yes, I am. So I want to invite you up here to select the next three hymns. So Myrtle came up to the front. She got on the front, and he says, and now what three hymns would you like? And she looked out across the congregation. She said, I'll take him and him and him. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm going to close with a story, believe it or not. Bob McCauley is the president and the CEO of AmeriCares. That is a nonprofit agency, global nonprofit agency that distributes medical aid to countries that are hard hit with natural disasters, things like hurricanes, earthquakes, and that kind of stuff. And AmeriCares is first on scene with aid for those people in those situations. During the year last year, they passed the $5 billion with a B dollar mark that they had distributed in aid to people throughout the world. But AmeriCares was not always a huge thing like that. When it first started, it was really tiny. And Bob was given the opportunity to travel the world and pretty much beg for money. And in the process, he found himself traveling with Mother Teresa. And they were together in a country in South America, I'm going to say Ecuador. And they were on a flight to Mexico City together. And he was learning from Mother Teresa as they went along. And they were seated next to each other on this plane ride. I can't remember the name of the airlines. It was Salvadorian Airlines. But as they flew, they got to talking, and then the flight attendant came around with lunch and started offering lunch. And the lunch came down to him, and Mother Teresa stopped the flight attendant and said, ma'am, what's the value of this meal? And the flight attendant, I have no idea. She said, well, take a guess. What do you think? What do you think it'd be worth? And the flight attendant said, well, I don't know, $1, $1. Mother Teresa said, how would it be that if I don't take my meal, I'll just take $1 instead, and I'll give that to the poor? And the poor flight attendant says, I don't know if I can do that. Mother Teresa said, ask somebody. So the flight attendant, she went up and she got to the pilot and she says, I've got some nun back there that wants to $1 instead of her meal. And the pilot says, oh, I guess so. It's okay. Give her $1 and we'll call it good. So Bob is sitting next to her. She couldn't pronounce Bob. She had that heavy accent and she couldn't say it. We call him Bub. So Bub couldn't sit there and eat his meal in front of her, and she doesn't have anything. She's got her $1 there to give to the poor. So, you know, the flight attendant says, you know, I'd like to give up my meal for $1 too to give. Guy next to him, he heard too pretty soon. Guy in front of him, he raised his hand. Guy across the aisle. Next thing you know, it had gone around the plane. There were 149 people on that plane. And all of a sudden, there are 149 people weren't hungry that day for lunch. And all 149 people said, no, I don't want, I'll take the dollar. And so Mother Teresa got off the plane with $149 to give to the poor. But she wasn't done. She says, hey, Bub, I want you to go ask that guy if we can have the meals. He says, what? She says, yeah, they can't serve the meals now. So they had, you know, the people greeting the gate, you know, when they tell you which one to go. Well, they're walking down the stairs, but they had somebody down there telling them which gate to go to. So Bob went up and he says, say, you know, there's 149 meals on that plane that you can't serve to anybody else. I was wondering if we could have those to give them to the poor. And I said, what? Yeah, could we? I said, well, I don't know what we can do with them. I guess so. Well, Mother Teresa nudges him. She says, we need some way to get it there. She says, there's that pickup truck over there, and it's got the name of the airlines on it. Say, could we borrow that pickup truck to do that? I guess so. I don't know. Macaulay tells his story about going through Mexico City. He's, well, you know, Mother Teresa's a little short thing, and she couldn't see over the steering wheel. She had to drive looking underneath, you know, through the gap in the steering wheel. And he said, she's a horrible driver. He said, it's only through the grace of God that we got through Mexico City. But they arrived there at the poorest part of Mexico City. People are living, you know, they're living next to the dump and going over to the dump and looking for things to eat. And they showed up and start passing out meals. And people didn't know who Mother Teresa was, but they knew a meal. And so they were so grateful. They were so overwhelmed with this gift. Well, on the way back to return the pickup truck, they're driving through Mexico City, and Bob asked Mother Teresa, he said, how did you do that? How did you do it? And she says, well, Bub, I asked. And that's what I'm here today to do. Today I'm asking you to join me in supporting the Center for Spiritual Living financially, so that we can continue these programs, so that we can continue to teach spiritual transformation. So I'd like to give you a moment. We've had the cards out for a month now. In the seat backs in front of you, there are pledge cards in an envelope in case you're, you know, you don't want anybody seeing the amount of your pledge, because it doesn't make any difference. And you don't have to do this. Please don't feel an obligation, particularly you for the first time. But I told you, you get the one day of the year. But it's partially, yes, it's for the leadership council to have an idea of what the revenue stream is going to be for next year. But far more important than that, it's for you. For you to set your intention to step into the law of circulation and start giving to prime the pump. And so I'd like to take just a few minutes to give everybody a chance to fill out the little pledge card. All you have to do is put your name on it. Please write legibly. I have to read them. And mostly, yeah, I think I can do that. So if we could have just a few seconds, Jenna, to do that, I guess I could tell another bad. No, I don't. Better not do that. I already had one bad one today. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you. Last week I stumbled over the healing treatment. I had really been moved. I opened my email that morning, and there was a prayer in there from Reverend Linda. And it was for all the ministers on the ministers' listserv. And I intended to read that, and I got up here and forgot it. So, but that treatment is still deep in my heart. So today I want to read Reverend Linda's treatment that she sent to all of the CSL ministers last week, 1 week ago today. O Holy One, that divine and holy presence in which we live and breathe and have our being, that is known by many names and by no name, the universal mind, the sacred energy, the divine essence, God. There is no place that God is not in each one of us, is one with that divine mind, one with that divine wisdom, one with love and compassion. I know that as we move through the appearance of stormy and restless days, that beneath the appearance is the one, the constant, God. I know that each one of us embraces peace, models oneness, and that we surround those in apparent chaos in love and in light, knowing that the highest and the best for all concerned unfolds effortlessly. I am grateful for change. I am grateful for a new and higher consciousness evolving. I am grateful for the wisdom of the divine as a new day is birthed. I release these words to the working of the law that always and only says yes. And so it is.